There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. When I stumbled across my next guest in a list of potential guests, it was a no-brainer that we definitely needed to talk as our missions aligned. The more I learned about this exceptional human, the more curious and in awe I became. Jeff Garner describes himself as a romantic visual artist, pioneer, and unconventional designer of his sustainable label Prophetic. Apart from unapologetically being a mad scientist of fashion in a way that is kind to humans and the planet, his list of achievements are as breathtaking as his work. He has been named one of the top 40 artists in the US, and his works were placed permanently in the Smithsonian's Renwick Gallery for the 40 Under 40 exhibition. He's also an Emmy Award winner for his documentary on sustainable fashion called Remastered. As a prominent ethical voice in the fashion industry, Jeff dresses many artists such as Sheryl Crow, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, and Kings of Leon, just to name a few. Born and raised in the Civil War town of Franklin, Tennessee, on a horse farm, Jeff has a deep connectedness with nature. After spending time with Jeff direct from his cabin in Malibu, it became clear to me that his is a voice that needs to be heard, and his pioneer spirit needs to be shared. I hope you enjoy getting to know Jeff as much as I did. Welcome, Jeff, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm super excited to connect with you today. For those of us who don't know who you are, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been doing sustainable design for about 18 years now, I believe. So I have a collection called Prophetic, and I design in Tennessee and in Malibu, California, and I showcase around the world. We do Paris Fashion Week, London Fashion Week, etc. We had a documentary that won an Emmy called Remastered. It's about sustainable fashion, toxins in clothing, etc. But yeah, and then I design for artists and red carpet, etc., and try to teach when I can. I teach master courses and design schools, and yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And your work is absolutely breathtaking, can I just say.
Thank you so much.
And you're also in the Smithsonian, aren't you? Which is incredible.
Yeah, that was a real blessing. They named me one of the top 40 artists in the US, and we did a catwalk show in front of the Renwick Gallery, and that's right across from the White House.
So oh, wow.
I actually had asked the Secret Service if I could, ride a horse in front of, and they're like, sure.
That is so awesome. So obviously you're all about sustainable fashion and you know, the ethics behind the fashion industry. What would you say in a nutshell is your mission?
So my mission has always been to basically bring about more conversation and more awareness. So I started out in Tennessee designing for bands, and that's when I discovered how dirty and dark everything was. Mm. And so it was at the very beginning, my kind of scientific creative brain was like, we got to solve this and figure out different solutions. Because I saw guys basically taking, when you print a t-shirt, right, it's Plastisol ink and you throw it through a dryer and it off gases as it goes through. So I saw these guys with or without mask. I saw, I couldn't be in the building myself. So, it was little things like that. That was like, wow, what is this stuff made of? And why is it so dirty? And what do we do with the leftovers? And, and this was something early on. And so basically I felt like, okay, I can get the band guys to try to do more organic stuff, like using organic cotton, but then in the band world, it's about merchandise and price points, et cetera, et cetera. So I had a little bit of, you know, influence, but then I was like, okay, to get a bigger, grander platform, I need to do couture. So that's when I started designing couture and using natural fabrications and figuring out plant-based dyes. That took me about 8 years of figuring out how to get these colors. And I just went back. I studied in Florence, Italy, and I knew, you know, the royal families, et cetera. That's why purple tones were royalty, et cetera, because they were the hardest to get. So I went back and did historical studies and figured out what they used and how they did it, and just started applying that. And basically, yeah, so that's kind of how it evolved naturally. So yeah, so it's always been a platform for awareness.
Yeah, and I can so relate to what you've just said there, because I'm actually about to launch a T-shirt line here, and I've gone down the organic ethical line, and it's not a cheap thing to do.
No, not at all. And but, you know, the reality is the price points are off, so you're still buying T-shirts for $7 at H&M, Zara, et cetera, that, you know, we were buying at the same price point in the 70s, so everything else naturally has gone up in price, gas, food, you know, living, all, you know, just normal things, right? Coffee's $6 now. So why have not, you know, fashion, T-shirts, fast fashion. So basically you look back and it's all about the manufacturing and who's paying for it. Well, it's not the people making it. I mean, it's not the, you know, the companies that are making it. It's the manufacturing, right? So they just keep moving around. They keep getting, you know, by the, you know, with countries that have no policies for, you know, protecting the environment. And so that's how it happens. So it is a misconception. So your organic T-shirt, band T-shirt should be $40 at retail. I mean, to be able to buy the fabric and do, you know, an organic pigment ink or water-based ink, you know, you're going to get out of that with your COG at $10 to $12. So, you know, it makes sense. So, you know, it just, yeah, that's what we're up against is that misinformation and that marketing that, you know, so everyone's used to the $7 T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, some of the previous guests on the podcast are like Outland Denim and You Underwear in the UK. We've talked a lot about the cotton manufacturing industry and how damaging it is to the environment. No doubt you've seen that side of it as well.
I have, yeah. I mean, obviously I grew up in the South, so that was a big cash crop there. And yeah, absolutely. And done, you know, and yeah, I mean, just, the short of it is I lost a child, and her grandfather, who was in Mississippi, was a crop duster.
Right.
And so what happened, they grew up, the daughter grew up, you know, Beta's mom grew up next door to this crop dusting facility. It obviously impacted the groundwater. And then she was raised on this groundwater. So she was, you know, never was told she could never, ever have a child, et cetera. So when we had the miracle child, Beta, she came with complications from that. And anyways, we lost her. But
so sorry.
That, yeah. So I've seen firsthand, you know, what those chemicals that they crop dust with too. So yeah, it's a big issue. So that's why, you know, we as consumers need to buy things that, you know, obviously have those certifications, but not afraid to pay that price point, because then nobody suffers or, you know, and our environment doesn't suffer, the people making it don't suffer. And that's what we really need to talk about is, like, you know, Walmart could pay 10 cents more to produce these denim jeans, and they could recycle the water at these, you know, factories in Xinjiang, China, but they don't offer that. But consumers would pay more for the product if Walmart would say, hey, we're starting this recycling program of our denim dyeing of our water, and so that they don't suffer there in the Pearl River, et cetera. But that's, nobody knows about it. It's like out of sight, out of mind, right? Production's not in our backyards anymore. In the States, we used to produce in, like, an Ohio River would catch fire because we'd be dumping, you know, petroleum-based chemicals into the river. And so it flows like tar, and obviously it's a fire hazard. So we just don't remember. None of us were alive during those times. So now, yeah, we don't see it.
And this is why it's so important to have these kind of discussions, Jeff. And, you know, if we can get those big box, you know, department stores to actually make change, that's where we can really cut through.
Yeah. I'd had a conversation, interesting enough, a gentleman moved to, I won't mention his name, but he moved to Tennessee on a farm with like a Brady Bunch. You know, he remarried and now he has six kids now and he's living a simpler life. But he ran Banana Republic and Gap for about 20 plus years. So I said, I met him at a Halloween party, I think. And I was like, you should be my arch enemy. Anyways, we got to talking and I said, what is it? Like, just, you know, obviously you're out of the business now. Just tell me what. He goes, Jeff, listen, I had a staff of 60 people that were supposed to go around and check all these factories, et cetera, and make sure they uphold our quality and do what we ask, blah, blah, blah. He goes, we couldn't manage that. It was not enough personnel and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I kind of believe you. But I was like, so he was basically saying that Banana Republic Gap could not reinforce their standards with these factories. And I was like, And then I went to the factories firsthand and visited them and said, well, and I met with the factory owners and they said, no, these bigger, you know, entities like Gap, Banana Republic, Walmart, push them to the tilt and basically say, if you don't produce it at X, we're pulling the contract. And then you and your family and all your employees are out of work because they literally have to only take their orders because there's huge volume. So, you know, there's no way they could do more than just like a Walmart contract or Banana Republic contract. So, you know, they really have to adhere. And so they obviously have to cut corners. So it's almost an impossible task for like, let's say, you know, Banana Republic say you got to make it at X, but then we want you to we want to make sure all these policies are in place so we don't get red flagged, you know, recycling the water and, you know, everybody gets a break and like just all these standards they have for fair trade. And, you know, so there's a disconnect, so they can't possibly do it. So it's very interesting. Like that story has never been talked about, obviously, like anywhere else. There's, you know, the owner of the factory, there's bad and there's good, you know, and we know that. But there's good factories, obviously, in China as well. But again, it boils down to if we lift these low bottom pricing that all these companies bank off of and say, hey, well, just lift it so that everything's done in an ethical manner. Because we don't need any more of that anymore. We don't need to pollute and, you know, and make our workers sick, et cetera. Like that's like bottom layer. That's like, okay, this is, you know, should be out of the system by now. So until we enforce those policies, I don't see how that is just going to continue to be masked and, you know, forgotten about because these companies have great publicists that, you know, are able to sway it.
Yeah. And I've also heard that, you know, some of the larger chains, if they don't sell a product, they basically just bury it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was in London showing at Fashion Week and there was a big article during Fashion Week. I'll never forget this. I was showing my elephant painted dresses and we were on like the front cover of this. And then on the second page was like H&M found cutting, slicing and dumping their clothes in the dumpster, you know? And it's just like, yeah, because they don't want to oversaturate the market. So they, instead of, you know, giving them away or sending a lot of companies used to send them to Africa, but they now just burn them or slice and throw them away, which is horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it shows the problem where that capitalistic mass market, you know, mass production model really doesn't work.
Yeah. It's such a waste. So, for you in, you know, creating your dyes and in the production that you do, I mean, what's your biggest challenge and how have you overcome it?
You know, the biggest challenge, obviously, it's a time commitment.
Yep.
It's a learning curve. You know, it's kind of like mad science, which I personally love. But I have a notebook, huge, thick notebook of like, oh, I accidentally got this color. How did I do that? And then you have to go backwards and figure out, oh, that was a mistake, but I like it. And there's so many variables to it, whether the air temperature, for example, changes the way the color comes out. The type of pots you use, right? So because the metals leak into the dye solution, your water, how much chlorine's in the water or not in it, the sunlight. I mean, there's just so many variables. So to me, it's fun, but you could think about it from a production standpoint. If a consumer wants this solid, certain color and have it that way every time, well, it's just not going to be that way.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of natural dyes. You know, I figured out I keep consistency in a lot of colors. Some colors are just always going to be unique and special. So that's, you know, but after about 5 years of shipping stores and them understanding that variable, then they turn it around and realize, well, this is this is an additive. This is great.
Mm.
Like, we love this. This is handmade and crafted. And I'll never forget when it started becoming a thing, crafted and handmade, all this stuff. Like, well, we've been doing this whole time and it was a negative and now it's a positive.
Yeah.
Like, great. so that's been the main thing. Yeah.
And it's so cool. I mean, there is a bit of an evolution happening, isn't there? Like, people are starting to wake up and see the difference that, you know, buying ethical clothing and sustainable fashion makes. And it's really coming down to the consumer's dollars, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's always, you know, I've converted so many of my friends. Mm. You know, I have, girlfriends that, you know, in Malibu that work out every day in yoga, wear, drink, you know, acai or, you know, smoothies every day, like are the epitome of like what you would see on the Instagram models as super healthy. But then you look at their skin and they're breaking out on their back or their shoulders and little bumps, et cetera. And so obviously that's your body way of saying, hey, I'm trying to get out these toxins.
Mm.
And they always ask me, I said, well, it's the TDI in your spandex and your leggings, you know, and your yoga pants. And I go, it's been proven. It's just science. It's like, it's a hormone disruptor.
Mm.
And obviously the more you wear it and off gas in it and sit out in the sun in it, the more it's going to penetrate your skin. And everybody's DNA structure is different. So obviously it's going to affect, you know, women differently, depending on where their levels are. It's called bioaccumulation. So it's interesting. So they think they're epitome of healthy, yet they're still breaking out.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, it's, you know, that's what it is. So yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's so many levels to it, isn't there, that we could go into. It's like we could be here all day.
I'll let you guide it. I talk too much.
I love it. So this one's probably a bit left field, but I'm so keen to hear your answer on it. Can you define what being ethical means to you?
Wow, interesting question. Yeah, it's kind of since I started doing this, it became like a term. To me, ethical, you know, in my viewpoint, it just means doing the right thing. So I always felt as a designer, like, we should not create anything that could harm a person or harm the environment. And that was kind of like our ethos, our code of conduct, like the knights in armor is like, they had a code of conduct, like, you know, so I think of it that way.
Yeah.
So
love it. Absolutely love it. So, what have you got coming up? What are your future plans at the moment?
Well, I just finished doing Fashion Weeks are dead, obviously, right now. Mm. So I worked on a TV show series called Down to Earth with Zac Efron and Darren Olean.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the wardrobing for their second series. They're actually in Australia now.
Yeah.
Filming. But yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not.
Anyways, we've heard.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's heard. You know, and again, it's a great show that really, you know, goes into the heart of matters and brings, you know, like the first series, they talked about the water and nobody understands, you know, the connoisseur of water and what's in it and how important that is. And, you know, it's interesting topic. So obviously they want to dress the part. So I came up with like a wearable men's collection made of hemp and plant-based dyes, et cetera. So it's cool to see them. And they're like, this is all we need. I'm like, yep, because you don't need to wash it every time you wear it. And, you know, it's going to last your whole time you're filming and blah, blah, blah. And so I think they're riding motorcycles, I think, on one thing. And so I made some, like, riding pants for that are kind of vegan leather and stuff. So it was cool. Yeah. It was a cool little project. So I just wrapped that. And then now I'm working back on my intimates. So we have hemp boxers and hemp bras. And I'm trying to add more styles to that collection because I, it's a need. Every time I talk about it, everybody's like, well, where'd I go? I'm like, I don't really know. I mean, you know, you can look on Etsy and these places, but, and then they send stuff to me and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I'm like, ah, that's not the best solution. Mm. You know, it has one element, but not all of them. So I learned very quickly, I'm such a purist in what I do that my commercial element, i.e. the intimates, is done in that format. So anyways, I'm trying to implement more of those styles so people have more options. Once they get educated, they obviously want to go out and wear the stuff. So, so I'm trying to service that need right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that more natural fibers, they don't, like you say, they don't react with the body as much, do they? Like synthetics and things like that?
No, it's night and day difference. I probably would break out in a rash if I put on anything synthetic, honestly. Mm. I have not worn since I started this, you know, started 18 years ago and basically started making my own clothes about 15 years ago. So I haven't worn anything since, brought anything since. So, but everyone I kind of convert over, they automatically feel the difference. Mm. And the only time I can relate is like if I stay at a hotel and they have like polyester bleached white sheets and I get so itchy, I usually like sleep in the bathtub or something.
Wow.
Or outside if I can, because I just can't, I cannot handle it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So I've got the last big question for you, Jeff. What's the change you'd like to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
I would love to see everyone walking down the street wearing, I'm right on the ocean. So that was a Coast Guard chopper. Oh. So I would love to see everyone, you know, walking down the street wearing natural fibers and plant-based dyes. And I just think that landscape, like that picture would be gorgeous. You know, like the old postcards where everyone used to dress up, like, it would go back to that. And say, I mean, you take a picture today of these cityscapes. It just looks ugly.
Yeah.
It's like a mismatch. It's like synthetic clothing and I don't know, and just the styles, et cetera. It's just all over the place. But I would love to see that. Because obviously that would mean a lot of things, that we weren't poisoning our bodies anymore and that we're benefiting the earth by not using those toxins in the clothing. So it would mean, you know, a good shift, basically.
Mm. And that's a bit of a theme that I've seen through this podcast is we need a bit of a reverse evolution, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, you're exactly right. Mm. You know, it's funny every time I have a farm in Tennessee and my friends will, you know, I used to throw like holiday parties and stuff, but I told everyone, you got to come dressed and sustainable.
Mm.
And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you're not going to be allowed in if you don't.
Wow.
And it reminds me of the Spitalfield pageant balls that they used to have at Queen Victoria.
Mm.
So the Spitalfield silk was the old Thai silk and it was about to go, you know, it's the French Huguenots that were doing it and they were about to go out of business because everyone stopped wearing that silk for the ties. So she threw these Plantagenet balls that everyone had to bank their costumes out of the silk. So it basically gave, you know, a boost to the Spitalfield silk makers and allowed them to continue it. And anyways, it's interesting. So yeah, so even if we go out to a restaurant or bar, I dress my friends.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. Yeah.
How cool would it be to hang out with you?
Yeah, you should ask my buddy Ali. I dressed him in a dress last time. it was great fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate your voice and what you're doing. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.